On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
So where do I go?
Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock I know that's able. I go to the rock.
I go to the
rock of my salvation.
I go to the
stone that the builder rejected.
Run to the mountains
and the mountains and my need. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
So where do I hide?
Where do I hide? Till the storms have all passed over.
Where do I run to
when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock.
I go to the
rock of my salvation.
I go to
the stone that the builder rejected.
I run to
the mountains and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
I go to the
rock of my salvation.
I go to
the stone that the builder rejected.
I run to the mountains and the mountains stand by me.
The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Oh,
when I need a shelter, when I need a friend,
I'm standing
on the rock,
on the rock
of ages, safe from every storm. All the storm that rages, rich in love I'm rich,
but not from Satan's wages.
I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is the first Sunday of summer, and I'm going to bring a Christmas message. The truth is, this time of the month of June is closer than to the real birthday of Jesus than December the 25th is. Chew on that. Got your place in Luke chapter 2? Stand if you will, please, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1. Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now I want you to go back to verse number 7 and look at these words for our message. There was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. Now I want to ask you this question this morning for my message. Have you personally made room for Jesus? There was no room for them in the inn. But have you made room personally for Jesus? Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. You know, many times we only preach about this in the Christmas season. But Lord, this is a Bible story, not just a seasonal story. This is the fulfillment of promises that started all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 and ran completely through the Old Testament. This is a foundational, fundamental truth and doctrine in the Christian faith. And Lord, every Sunday is the right Sunday for it. And every Sunday is the right Sunday to ask the question, have you made room for Jesus in your life? I need your help this morning as I preach. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me, dear God, as only you can. And use me for your glory. May the message be so simple, so plain, that every person understand it. And Father, I pray that you'd save every person in this building and on this property today that hears the Word of God. We thank you for the great week of soul winning. We thank you for the many of our people that went out to tell people about you. We thank you for 245 people that bowed their head and called upon Jesus to be their Savior in their home or in the street or at a park during the week time. We thank you for 72 of them that have already come in to follow you in believers' baptism. I pray that you might add to that number today those that were saved during the week and promised to come today to follow you in believers' baptism. Now, Lord, I ask you to save every soul that needs to be saved. Cause every one of us to ask the question, have I made room for Jesus in my life? And I'll thank you, Lord, for every decision made and every soul that shall be saved, for we know it's your doing. It's by your grace and because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's in His name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. There was no room for them in the inn. And I ask one more time, have you personally made room for Jesus in your life? Our story for today's message does not begin in Luke 2. It goes all the way back in the Holy Word of God to Genesis 3:15, where God promised for the very first time that He would send in human flesh a Savior for sinful man. time and time again in the 4,000 years of the Old Testament before Jesus was born, God would renew His promise of the Savior, the Messiah, who would come to redeem us from the awful curse of our sin. Now, in the fullness of time, when it was just right on God's calendar, God chose a young virgin girl out of the tribe of Judah and of the lineage of David. And the Holy Ghost of God, the Bible says, overshadowed her and placed the divine seed of God in her womb. And Christ began His 9-month journey from the womb to the manger. That little one who began to develop inside Mary was not a mass of nothing. It was not simply a fetus. It was God becoming flesh. It was God incarnate. It was Emmanuel. It was God with us, making His journey to the earth as a man to take our sin upon Himself and to die on an old rugged cross for us. It was Christ, the anointed of God. It was Jesus, the Savior of sinners, there in Mary's womb. That 9-month journey from seed to Savior had passed. And it was now time for Mary to give birth to the Son of God. They were in Bethlehem, the city of David. They were there because of the taxing. They had to go to their own city of their birth. And it was there that the birth of Jesus occurred. As any caring husband, Joseph sought out a safe, clean, warm place for Mary to give birth. He knew that this was not just an ordinary baby. He had been visited by the angel of the Lord. He knew what He was going to name Him. The angel had told Him. He knew that this baby was the promised Messiah. He went to an inn. An inn, there was a hotel for travelers, but it was full. And the Scripture says that there was no room for them in the inn. So He went to the only warm, safe place He could find, a stable that housed the livestock there in Bethlehem. It was actually a part of a cut-out rock, a cave, a shelter from the weather. And there in the hay, the God of all glory and the Savior of sinners was born. His first bed was a manger. A manger is a trough for feeding the animals. Mary wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes. Now, swaddling clothes does not mean, as some have taught, that He was wrapped in rags. Swaddling clothes is strips of clean cloth that is prepared for a birth. And when that baby is born, they wrap that little baby's body in that clean cloth. Had nothing to do with my message. I just thought you'd like to know that. But because there was no room in the inn, the Son of God had to be born in a manger in the barn. Do you suppose if the innkeeper had known that the baby inside Mary about to be born was the God of glory, that they would have made room for Him? Do you reckon that if they had known that this baby about to be delivered was the Creator of the whole world and all that's in it, do you suppose they would have made room for Him? Do you suppose if they had known that this little one was about to come into the world and was the promised Messiah, the one prophesied all through the Old Testament, and now the time was come, He's about to be born. Do you suppose if they had known that He was the Savior, that they'd have made room for Him? Well, I think there's a greater question that we must ask this morning. We do know that Jesus is God. We do know that He is Messiah. We do know that He is the Son of God, the one who became our sin sacrifice. We do know that He is the Savior and the only Savior of sinners. And I must ask you, have you made room for Jesus today? Have you made room for Jesus in your life? That's the message I want you to consider today. Not at Christmas time, but here at the beginning of summer. We have more knowledge and understanding about who He was and what He did than the innkeeper ever had. We know that He is the Savior. We know that He died for our sins. We know that He arose from the dead. We know that He arose back to the right hand of the Father. And we know that He's coming again. So have you made room for Jesus in your life? Your sin may be greater than the sin of the innkeeper. He did not know. You do know. What a sin it is to know that He is the Son of God. He is Messiah. And you have made no room for Him in your heart, or in your life, or in your family. That's what I want to preach to you about this morning. Number one, have you made room for Jesus in your heart? That means, have you invited Him into your heart and life to become your Savior? Have you confessed to Him that you are a sinner and on your way to hell? Have you asked Him to forgive your sin and save your soul? I don't mean asking Him to save you from a wreck or save you from financial disaster. I don't mean to ask Him to save you from the mess you've gotten yourself in. I mean asking Him to be your Savior. You don't get that by baptism. You don't get that by joining the church. You don't get that because you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, or a Presbyterian, or whatever you are. You become a child of God when you personally and definitely realize you're lost and you need a Savior, and you know that Jesus alone is that Savior. You invite Him into your heart to save you. Have you made room for Jesus in your heart as Savior? Romans 10 verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He goes on to say, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And then He sums it all up and says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I ask you one more time, have you personally made room for Jesus in your heart as your Savior? Have you asked Him? Oh, I know you have general knowledge that He is the Savior. I know that you have general knowledge that He died on the cross. But the devil knows that too. You're no better off than the devil if that's all you know and believe. You must come to that place where you ask Him to be your Savior. You ask Him to save your sins. You see, we've got to come to the place where we realize He just didn't die for a world. He died for me. Amen. For me. And we ask Him to come into my heart and be my Savior. Oh, I did that when I was 15 years old. What a wonderful day that was in my life. I've never gotten over it. It changed my life. It changed my walk. It changed my talk. It changed my eternal destiny. It changed my purpose. Oh, what a day when one makes room for Jesus. Jesus will never intrude into your heart. He'll knock for entrance, but He won't knock the door down. You must invite Him in. You'll never find room for Jesus. The devil will see to that. You must determine that you want to be saved and make room for Him. You must you say, one of these days when I find time, you'll never find time. You've got to say, right now, I want to be saved. Right now, I'm going to invite Him into my heart. Not tomorrow, not next month, not next year. Don't put it off. The devil is the author of excuses. Make room for Jesus today and do it without delay. You can never go to heaven without being saved. And you're not saved because you have not made room for Jesus. In life, He had no place to lay His head. But Jesus didn't come to this earth to accumulate property. When He died, He had no place to be buried. He had to be buried in a borrowed tomb, but He did not come to lay in a tomb and fill its space with His crucified body. He came to die for you and for me. He came to pay our sin debt. And I ask you again, have you made room for Jesus? Have you invited Him to come into your heart? You need to do that today. Your sin is far greater than the innkeeper. He didn't know. He just looked at his registry and said, I'm full. He didn't know. I'm sure had he known this was the Savior, he'd have found a room. He may have even given Him his own room. But you do know He's the Savior. And Jesus is not looking for a room at a motel. He's looking for room in your heart and in your life. And I ask you this morning, have you made room for Jesus? Secondly, I want to ask Christians, have you made room for Jesus in your daily life? Jesus is not someone we accept and we think about only on Sundays. Jesus is God every day and we need Him every day. He wants to walk with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to be a part of our job, a part of our family, a part of our play, a part of our fun activity. Have you made room for Jesus in your daily life, in your daily walk? Do you strive to walk with Him in His steps? Do you try to live by His word and His principles? Do you conduct your business in a way that pleases Him? Do you choose your fashions by His standards? These things don't happen by accident. You don't accidentally begin to walk with Jesus in a daily walk. You don't accidentally begin to use Bible principles to conduct your life affairs and your business. You don't accidentally begin to choose your dresses and clothing according to His standards of modesty and right. There must be a conscious decision to make room for Jesus in our daily walk. I remember a time when I knelt at an altar and said, Lord, I've accepted You as Savior. And I've served You at times faithfully and other times I haven't. Sometimes I've thought about You during the week. But from this day forward, I'm going to make You the main person in my life. I want to honor You with my life. I want to honor You on my job. I want to honor You in my business decisions. I want to honor You in my family. Have you made room for Jesus? Have you made room for Jesus in your communications? For some, the only mention of Jesus Christ is in the form of a slang word or a cuss word. Isn't it sad that the only way some people ever use Jesus' name is by taking it in vain? Using it as a cuss word? Do you know that the name of Jesus shall be exalted above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee one day will bow and every tongue will confess. May I say to you, if all you do is use His name in slang and as a cuss word, one of these days you'll bow your knee before Him and give an account to Him for your communication and for your daily walk. How much better it would be for us to determine, decide personally, I'm making room for Jesus in my daily walk. I want it to be like the songwriter said, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I'm His own. Have you made room for Jesus in your walk? Have you made room for Jesus in your conversation, your communication? Do you talk with Him on a regular basis? A daily basis? Have you talked with Him this morning? If I should ask you how many of you have talked on your cell phone this morning, the great majority of you would raise your hand and say, yes, I've talked to somebody on my cell phone this morning. You took time to call somebody, or you took time to answer a call from somebody. But as a Christian, have you taken time to talk to the one who really matters? The one who loved you and died for you on that old rugged cross. Have you made room for Jesus in your heart? Have you made room for Jesus in your daily walk? Have you made room for Jesus in your talk? Some have shut Him out of their heart, and some never have time for Jesus in their daily activities. And some of you say you're saved and you've never talked to Him. You don't talk with Him on a regular basis. You know what? We talk with those we really love. Have you made room for Jesus in your heart? Have you made room for Jesus in your walk, your way of life? Have you made room for Jesus in your communication? Then I must ask you, have you made room for Jesus' book, the Bible, in your life? How in the world are you going to know about Jesus if you don't make room for the book? The book. You make room for what's important to you. The reason you don't read the Bible is the Bible is not important to you. Jesus is not important to you. God is not important to you. And the record book of heaven will not say there was no room for Him in the end, but it'll say about you, you did not make room for Jesus in your heart. Or maybe you did, but you didn't make room for Him in your walk. Or you didn't make room for Him in your communication. And you never made room for His book, the Bible. My wife was diagnosed a few months ago with type 2 diabetes. And she got serious about it. And she started watching her diet, walking, and going to the doctor and doing everything she's supposed to do. And they just sent her a brand new meter and all of that stuff that goes with it to check her blood sugar. And yesterday she brought it in and said, now, hon, I've got to start using this tomorrow and I want you to read up on it and tell me how it works and show me how it works so I can do it right. Well, guess what? I couldn't pick that thing up and just say, well, here, do this, this, this. I'd never seen it before. I had to read the manual of operation. I did not want her to do something that would hurt herself. I wanted her to get the benefit of the instrument and the testing. So I read it step one, step two, step three, all the way through to the end, and then we practice, and we made sure everything was right. We wanted to do it right. Hey, you don't know how to live a Christian life by nature. You don't know naturally. The way we learn how to live for God and walk with God and serve God and communicate with God is in this book of God, the Bible. And we need to take time to sit down and read it and find out what pleases God and what does not please God. You've got to make time to do that. Well, I was sitting in my easy chair. I already had it back in first gear. I had a glass of cold lemonade sitting there. And I had to make time for that. You know why I did? Because I love her. You know why we make room for Jesus, make room for His Word in our life? Because we love Him and want to please Him. And some of you have never made room for Jesus' book, the Bible. Why haven't you made room for Jesus' book? Years ago, when Mrs. Smith and I got married, 2 weeks after we were married, I had to ship out in the Navy. We went down to Dallas, and I got on a train at the Central Rail Station. And I looked out that window, and I waved bye to my sweetheart standing there. We promised each other that we'd write each other every day. And we called each other when we had an opportunity and had money to do so. Cell phones, thank God, were not invented then. You actually had to go to a payphone and put money in it and dial. And when we had money, we would call her. We wrote to each other every day. And I'd read those letters over and over and over again. You know why? Because I loved her. I made time to read those letters. I never failed to make time to go to the post office. Some men never got letters. Some men never wrote letters. Some were not loved and some were not in love. But oh my, when you are in love, you'll make time for the one you love. And when you're in love with Jesus, you'll make time for this blessed book. You'll read the love letters from Him. Someone said, yeah, I read it once, but it's kind of like those letters I got from my wife. I read them over and over and over again. And that's the way it is with the Bible. I can't get enough of reading about Him. I haven't learned enough about Him. And if I'm going to learn more, I've got to stay in the book and I've got to stay in the pew. And I've got to put myself in the place where I'm taught and preached to, where I can learn about the one who loved me so. I'm going to make room for my Savior. Have you? He was cradled in a manger. His own angels sung the hymn of rejoicing at His coming. Yet, there was no room for Him. Oh, my brother, are we wiser? Are we better now than they? Have we made room for Jesus in the life we live today? Father, that's our message this morning. Would You use it to speak to our hearts? There are some people here today who know about You, but they don't really know You because they've never been saved. They've never invited You into their heart as their Savior. Dear God, Let this be the day when they make room for Jesus and invite you into their heart. May this be the day that some man, woman, boy, or girl will decide, I'm going to make room for Jesus in my daily walk, in my way of life. He's going to accompany me in my business ventures. He's going to accompany me at the workshop, at the workbench, as well as the church bench. He's going to accompany me in my relationship with others. He's going to accompany me in my playtime and fun time.